I'm Adam from Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Longbox Edition, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, friends of all kind of generations alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm John Lobster. Or as the doc just, I just backspaced too much. And John Lobster. Okay, let's type that in. And guys, second straight week in a row, go, go. Power Rangers.
Go, go, Power Rangers. Can I say in all honesty before we get into any of this?
Sure.
I fucking hate you both a hell of a lot less than I thought I would.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah. Like, this really. Last week touched on my nostalgia button a bit.
Yep.
It still was horrific and terrible.
Sure.
But it was all right. And this, I got to say, not to show my complete hand, but I would not be terrified if there was a sequel to this movie in any fashion.
We are kind of running the gamut here, which is sort of it's an interesting thing that's happened lately in movies and television, where you take a somewhat beloved,
campy
franchise or IP and update it for the modern era. Gritify it a bit. This has happened more and more with comic book type stuff. The best / worst example I can point to would be the recent Fantastic Four chronicalized version. And there's a bit of that in Power Rangers 2017. There's a bit of the Chronicle in there, a bit of the Chronic.
Yeah, if you kind of take that same idea, you take the campy Battlestar Galactica,
yeah, oh,
and you turn that into gritty and real world quantity, as opposed to just robots that look like toasters.
Funny that you mention Battlestar Galactica, because we're doing a bit of a double feature again this week. Our appetizer before we move on to our main course, our amuse-bouche, if you will. Wang, is your bouche amused?
Oh yeah, it's very amused.
Shall a bouche in your muse.
It's a party in my mouth.
I shall bouche in your amuse. how you say amuse bouche?
Amuse bouche.
Our little tasty morsel before we move on to the main event is the 2015 bootleg universe fan film Power/Rangers. So if you didn't catch this, you can find it on YouTube. It's been
3 years now.
Yeah, it was 2015, but it's been kind of like sued by Saban, and they took it down for a while, and now it's back available on one of the producers' channels.
Well, now it has the crawl, though, too. Like, this has nothing to do with the actual universe.
That's mostly what I think. What really happened overall, too, is that it brought the brand back into popular culture. So how the hell Saban can be mad at that point?
Well, I mean, here's the thing. This is a proof of concept.
Same way that the Deadpool.
Yep.
Deadpool did. Tron Legacy did before that came out. There was like this short film that served as a proof of concept that you could do a gritty, realistic Power Rangers project, we'll call movie, TV, whatever. And so this is 15 minutes long. It's got a cast of some people you've kind of heard of.
The Dawsons!
Dawson himself as Rocky, the Red Ranger, the former Red Ranger. Katie Sackhoff as Kimberly.
So awesome. Otherwise known as Starbuck.
Starbuck, Buck. The former Pink Ranger. Tommy, I know I've seen this guy in something before. Here, I'm going to click on
Russ Bain. I don't know who. Yeah, I don't know any one of these other people.
He looks familiar. Yeah. Like, I feel like he might have been on Battlestar at one point. And it actually has one person who was from the original Power Rangers, Carla Perez, as Rita. Kind of crazy. And it's a what-if future, sort of post-apocalyptic. The Power Rangers have failed. The Machine Empire have signed a treaty and kind of taken over the planet. Earth has kind of surrendered to the machines. And the original Power Rangers are scattered and being picked off one by one.
And it's for lack of a better term, collapsible sword or whatever was pretty cool.
The one that he borrowed from Sulu in Star Trek, the reboot. 2009.
Yes, but was it? Oh, yeah, you're right. It would have been earlier. But so again, it brought it back into my mind.
Yeah, but it worked well.
Cool.
It's a cool thing.
It's a cool, quick, effect. I don't know.
No, they did. Intro of that thing. Intro is, I think they took a lot of inspiration from that intro to do the new movie. So.
Right. So the opening scene is the Power Rangers losing a battle. They're losing a battle. The Zords are fighting up in the sky. The Power Rangers are running. It's kind of intercut. You're seeing it from Kimberly's helmet, POV. And then you see the Green Ranger has like an energy shield. So his normal like gold chest shield that he wears is like an energy projection,
which looks pretty cool.
Yeah, looked awesome. And then you see Kimberly's disembodied helmet, which kind of, for a short film, I'm like, okay, Chekhov's helmet right there, because you find out later that she in fact died during that battle. Yeah, and the person that you think is Kimberly is actually Rita. Spoilers. Sorry.
Spoiler alert.
Spoilers for a 3-year-old YouTube video.
You should be watching the 14-minute video if you're going to listen to us talk about it.
Should have paused that shit.
Anyway, go watch it. It's still worth it.
Yeah, it's cool. But what's fun about this is it kind of updates you on where the Power Rangers have been. Kimberly and Jason get married. They're sold out to the machines by Bulk and Skull, who are meth addicts, and then overdose. It's kind of like a Kill Bill scene because they've Jason and Kimberly have just gotten married, and then they're gunned down, Jason is gunned down. Zach sold out, and he is now like a mercenary for hire, and he has a really cool. Do you guys know Will Yun Lee from other stuff? He's another person. He plays General Clank that you've. I'm sure you've seen in other things, right?
No, maybe, I guess. I believe you.
Yeah, so Will Yun Lee is a pretty prolific actor. He came up in the 90s on shows.
That's why you like him.
Yeah, I do. He's a 90s actor. He was on Witchblade and did a bunch of episodes on that. He was in Die Another Day. That's his James Bond connection.
Okay, what did he do in Die Another Day?
He was General Tan Sun Moon.
Okay, I know exactly who it is.
He was the guy.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah. And then he's done a bunch of TV and films after that. And most recently, and he's done some stuff in like Mortal Kombat universe video.
Yeah, but it's the same guy that did the Mortal Kombat universe and this, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So he probably reuses actors all the time.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. He was in Red Dawn, the remake. He was in The Wolverine.
Yeah. I like the way that they took this actually seriously again. Like it was,
right. And
they
so,
were yelling at each other about real issues. Like they took kids to fight an intergalactic war.
And that is another takeaway that really stuck out in the reboot, the Power Rangers 2017 movie, that the fact that these are kids who are being asked to basically serve as child soldiers in a war against some extraplanetary threat.
I love that angle. I really love that angle that they go get that Jason is basically freaking pissed that he was used as a weapon.
Yeah, and we'll get to the remake and especially Zordon and kind of the role Zordon plays in not being a great leader and inspiration. The other kind of fun thing I love about this reboot, the bootleg universe, is how gritty and dirty the uniforms are, but they're still like the classic uniforms from the TV series. They're not quite updated to the armor of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the movie that we talked about last week. They're kind of leather, but there's still enough of the flexible spandex that they just kind of,
it looks like,
fit right there. Yeah.
It looks like Batman rubber from the end of the 90s,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah,
It kind of works because they put it, like you said, like kind of gritty, they're dirty and all that. The way they made the helmet work, Zach helmet, when you just like throw it around and then put it in his head and all that, that was impressive. The old Zach Bat.
The Tybo tapes or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, Hip Hop Keto.
Hip Hop Keto, that's what it was.
The VHS.
That was beautiful. The
I
way
know you motherfuckers are bootlegging my shit.
The way he dies too is just so unexpected. You just don't see it coming.
There's we also find out that Trini has died. It kind of mirrors real life in that Trini, the actress who played her, Thai Trang, passed away not long after the show wrapped up. And there's also a hint that Billy in this universe is gay. We know that David Yost, who played Billy in the original, is gay in real life. So that was, I thought, kind of an interesting angle. And Rocky, who is the replacement Red Ranger from the movie that we saw, has sold out to the Machine Empire and actually has a cybernetic leg. Which someone joked in the YouTube comments that that's actually Alpha's leg that he like grafted on.
That's not a bad idea. Okay, I kind of love it. Yep. He killed Alpha and just took the best pieces.
And then still at large is Tommy the Green Ranger, who is out there somewhere, presumably John Reese style, doing stuff.
We never know exactly why she wants him, except the fact that, well, he's the Green Ranger and she created him, but probably she wants the Green Power coin back, I'm guessing. We'll never know.
Yeah, she wants him to be her Ranger again.
Yeah. That's too bad that it's a bootleg universe and they had so many problems, because now I'm interested in the sequel, and I mean, that might be the same problem we're going to get in with the new version of the Power Ranger, but they need to give us more Green Ranger right away. That's what we want to see, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other kind of thoughts, takeaways from the bootleg film?
Listen, as an adult, I think that's the best thing you can have in the Power Ranger universe. This is really fun to see how they can take this, project it in this real sci-fi universe, take the campy away, but make it work on so many levels without throwing away anything. I mean, they're keeping the fact that they were children and all that jazz. So I just loved it. And after I've seen that in 2015, I was ready for a reboot of Power Ranger.
Yeah, me too.
Even someone like me who really didn't give two shits about the originals or barely remembered them, seeing the bootleg universe when it first came out, like Wing said, like you guys said, it kind of brought it back to the forefront of my brain, and it was real again. It was a good thing. It wasn't bullshit anymore. It wasn't campy costumes and this and that. It was brought into a legitimate, dirty, real sci-fi universe, and that's why I like the reboot, and that's exactly kind of why I like the new one too, which we'll get to later.
Yeah, I thought this worked as a really good demonstration of what an updated Power Rangers could look like. And it played with the existing Power Rangers continuity. The events and things that they mentioned kind of all happened in the show.
I like They didn't show you the parents getting shot in the alley, you know?
Right, right. They just said, okay, Zordon recruited us to basically do his dirty work. The Machine Empire shows up and basically humanity capitulates. The Power Rangers are disbanded, and then everyone kind of has to figure out their own stuff and it doesn't work. It's not a happy ending, really, for anyone.
But they didn't show, you know, they didn't show you recruiting the teens again. It was just right. like, boom, right. here it is. You know what's up. Either you don't, or you're going right. to get caught up real quick.
Yeah, well, yeah. But if
and it had a cool remix theme song at the end.
But and if you know the universe of Power Ranger, it's fun because like the Machine Empire is the third season of Power Ranger, so that would be logic that if you're not going with Zeo and all that crap after, that it turned bad at that point.
Yeah.
If you want and all like the Bulk and Skull reference and all that jazz, if you were a fan, they took everything in it and gave it to you in a twisted, fracked up way that the adult life can be.
Very true.
Okay.
All right, guys. So, in case you were under a power crystal rock.
Oh, my God.
You may have noticed that there was a Power Ranger movie in theaters. Well, currently, but recently premiered. Did yeah. you guys check this out at all? Were you excited for this to occur? Did you watch any of the trailers or stuff leading up to it?
I've been following the news, watch a trailer, every picture they show, the every behind the scene. Jason, what is the name of Tommy Oliver, the actor? Jason Scott Lee, I think, something like that? No, not at all.
Jason David Frank.
David Frank, long name. Here you go. Jason David Frank. How many first names this guy can have? Okay.
I wasn't at all interested in any of this, and then having to watch the first two, and then having to watch it, you know, Cody Fingers having to watch it for this show.
We basically duct taped his eyes.
Right,
open.
With little, you know, toothpicks.
Clockwork Orange style, yep.
But still, once I did, really freaking happy I took the time to sit down and watch it, because every 10, 20 minutes in the new reboot, I was going, wow, this keeps getting better and better. This is just enjoyable and entertaining. And, oh, my God, this is a Power Rangers flick. And then I'd forget. And a few minutes later, I'd be like, this is really good. This is a Power Rangers flick. Like, it was freaking me out.
You have to say that the fact that we made you watch the first episode of Power Ranger
helped. All of that helped. I thank you. I cringed at the thought, but making me watch the first episode and that first 95 movie,
that gleaming CGI turd of a movie.
It made this look like gold. This could have been a steaming pile of shit, too, and I wouldn't have known. But I really think this is a movie with redeeming qualities.
Yeah,
I will say that perhaps the, while we're talking about the CGI Zord, whatever shit that was in the first one, this kind of had the 2017 update of that. It just was a little too,
you know,
something. It was a little extra, as the kids say.
I will say I am saddened by the fact that the Pink Ranger did not get in her Who Ride right away and go, oh, nice stereo.
Stereo.
That's true.
Okay, well, let's start this off where it should go, because I happen to have a friend of mine close down a theater, if you will, and get a decent amount of notes for the first half.
Nice.
I love how they started it. Earth. The Cenozoic era, I don't know what, but still.
65 million years ago.
Walter White is a MRF'n Red Ranger.
He's also a naked blue alien.
Yeah. Right.
Pretty quick there.
But it's still cool. Like, that's, I like how they make him more than just a head and a body and a time warp. He's he's an ex-Ranger. He is someone that should be looked up to.
I'm gonna agree with everything you said. I'm gonna agree with everything you said. It made him more human and all that crap.
It made him human by literally making him not a human.
Right.
Yes.
Like, he's an alien.
But it made him fallible. It made him have his own agenda and not a Yoda-like figure like he used to be.
Yoda's still fallible and not perfect.
Yeah, but he's not a motherfucker that's just trying to make you do something for your own
good
for
he,
a while.
Was he doing it to do it that way, or was he doing it all matrixy, what's going to bake your noodle later, just to get them to be a team? Yes.
I think he was doing that so he could take the place of the Red Ranger again.
Yeah, I think they became a team anyway, in spite of his leadership, right. I guess.
Yeah. Like,
I don't think he did them any favors.
But how would you feel if you were the ultimate badass, being the leader of the Power Rangers, and then you woke up in a wall?
It's a bad day.
There'd be some real body
jealousy.
Real body power crystal envy.
Sure.
Yeah. And I agree with that. And I think that makes the Zordon character more interesting than he has ever been.
Yep. Because he's a real legitimized being with flaws as opposed to this perfect thing.
The only drawback is that I can't see that it's not Cranston all the time.
Oh my God. And it's Billy Cranston.
As in they used to cram a ton
of crayons in my butt.
Yeah,
but as soon as I didn't even get it the first time, they're like, I heard him do the explanation, and then the next time someone called him Cranston, I'm like,
you know why he's named Cranston in the original '90s show, huh?
No, I didn't even know that was actually his name.
Because Walter White, what's the name of the actor? The first
yeah,
name.
Yeah, I got you.
Cranston.
Yep.
Bryan Cranston was making voice for Power Ranger, and they actually liked his name, so they kept it for the Blue Ranger. But he made the voice of two or three villain in the original show.
What?
Yep. He has an actual connection since season one. And
yeah,
now
I need
he's
to go to IMDb and look that up.
Look that up. You can actually look on YouTube and see the clips, because I saw that, I think, on Jimmy Kimmel. He came like as the Red Ranger.
Jason Scott or whatever. Scott only goes over to Billy's house to get out of fucking house arrest and to use the van.
Yeah, well, but Billy is there like, we're going to get the plot moving on character.
Holy shit. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. He was the voice, uncredited, of Twin Man and Snizzard.
Told you.
Holy shit.
I know it's crazy. But yeah, the Billy character is, first of all, more interesting than he has ever been. I think making him a special kid, I don't know how special he is.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. So he's evidently on the spectrum, because he tells us he's on the spectrum, the autism spectrum, Asperger's. It's still kind of the Hollywood treatment of
it
that.
It is totally the Hollywood treatment of it, but still.
It's a nice effort, and it's just like there was a lot of press prior to the movie's release that Trini, the Yellow Ranger, was LGBTQ questioning. She was somewhere in that spectrum of not straight, I guess, is the thing.
Yep.
And that's a big deal when that happens, I guess, in movies.
Well,
so,
the way
and
they
it's
treated
like,
it
literally,
was a big deal.
It's literally one line, and then it's never like definitively. Like, she doesn't make out with
the girl.
Wait a minute.
Well, yeah, and that's. See, the way that they questioned it, I'm like, wait a minute, is she trans?
But no, I don't think she's trans.
I know, but just the way that they're throwing it out there and then left it hanging, it's like that's not how Hollywood would normally treat
a lesbian.
Or right, exactly.
But I like the way they treated it, because they didn't like use that as something like, ooh, look, lesbian.
Right.
But they still showed that this is the problem she has with her family, because she's different and they're super conservative.
Right. Well, her families want to label everything.
Exactly. So
she doesn't want to put a label on it.
So Zen ninja stuff on top of random rocks is going to help that?
Hey, whatever helps.
Whatever helps, man. Just, I mean, if that helps, if making chainmail while watching TV helps, you do that.
So?
Yeah. Are you making chainmail right now?
No, I'm talking to you guys.
Okay.
Making chain mail at any point today.
No, I haven't today. I will be tomorrow, though.
It's fine.
It's all good.
Stop picking on me.
No.
I also like what they did with Jason this time. He's not, like, too good. He's actually kind of a
stupid ass. One gripe that we had, I think, last week with the original Power Rangers, Zordon recruits teenagers with attitude. But those teenagers had zero attitude. They were milquetoast, goody-two-shoes, jumping out of airplanes for charity.
I like how the new Zordon has no idea what teenagers are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually wrote his name down as Zardoz twice.
Zardoz.
Put smiley faces next to it. I could say we should put a picture of my notes with that Zardoz. On there.
Zardoz. Oh, my God.
I have a van. It's not that kind of a van. Every van is that kind of a van.
That was a great.
Oh, and then they're drifting a van like 2 minutes later. I'm like, no van is that kind of a van.
Well, there's a big message in this thing. Drive safely, because if you don't, you will crash and you'll maybe die.
And you may become a Power Ranger.
That's not the van.
Steal a cow, put it in your rival high school's locker room, and then go crash your car. That was actually a really great opening scene. Not the scene with the cow when they're like, oh, I milked it. Oh, dude, it's a bull.
It's like a one udder. Yeah, yeah, I thought it was taking a long time.
That was friggin' stupid. Okay, but
I'm going to say it's the worst joke of the movie, and they open with it, so good.
Yeah, get it out of the way. But then the shot of him, and it's almost like a one take thing. They do it in like one take where the camera is just kind of like circling around the car.
I got a Twister vibe with the cow.
Yeah, with the cow.
Did you not get a Twister vibe from that?
Sorry, Beefcake. and then he crashes and it just cuts to black. And then you just have in the corner Power Rangers.
Have you seen what kind of trucks he drives? A red Ford Rangers.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I can't believe you didn't see that. That's your kind of thing, Lobster.
Holy shit.
If they all drove some flavor of Ranger.
Roy from The Office drives a red Ranger.
Was there ever an orange Ranger? Because I used to drive an orange. It was a red Ranger, but it was so faded. It was so faded, it was orange.
I was watching the first two episodes of the new Sentai series. There's now 9 Rangers, one for every planet, even planet that don't exist.
Wait, Pluto has its own Ranger?
No, it's not planet. It's constellation. But one of the new Rangers is actually a bull.
That's Taurus, bro.
Is there a scorpion? I'm a Scorpio. Is there a scorpion?
Yeah, it's a lady. Yes, there is.
There's a ram?
Whoa. Are there two for Gemini because it's twins?
Or are they people inside of each other like Legends? Like Legion.
I'm on that episode.
Like Legions.
I'm on that episode.
I'm not inside of either.
Legion,
of
yes, you are. You just don't know it.
But I'm only at episode 2, and they introduced the first 6. But when you watch the intro, I see all 9 of them.
You know what? Hang on. Have you guys seen Legion?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Phenomenal.
All the way to the end.
Yes.
I didn't finish the end, so don't no spoiler.
We won't spoil it, but yes,
there's an after credits, post credits, mid credits scene.
Can we agree this is probably one of the best TV show that they ever produced?
Because you know why? Again, they're doing what other shit is doing nowadays, and they're taking chances like Logan and like Deadpool and other stuff. They're doing it honest to the source material and taking a chance.
And you see, when you stay honest to the source material and take a chance, you get Power Ranger.
I was
and it will work.
We'll get back there in 2 seconds. I was confused as shit for about 2.5 episodes. Completely added up, you know, 20 minutes this, all of over Legion's 8 episodes, and by the end of it I was still like, that was phenomenal. I didn't get it all, but I still had enough grasp on it where I knew it was a great show. But yeah, Power Rangers, this is way better than the show.
Yeah
And what's funny is like if you watch the first episode like we did, it's basically a remake of the first episode. The Red Ranger is the last one to leave.
Here's what the difference is. The episode of the TV show is 10% character development and 90% action shots recycled from Super Sentai, right? Like, that's basically what the first episode is.
Yeah.
And they set up the formula of we're going to morph, we're going to fight the putties, we're going to zord, we're going to do this and this, right?
But
this movie is like 80% character development and then 20% morphin' time, right?
Right. I like the way that they did that, though. It wasn't just, here you get your armor. You have to work for it. You have to become the team. You have to hear and see the awesome little alpha who looks amazing in this. What is it, Monday? Yeah, then 65 million years. You know, like, it worked.
Great. Okay, Bill Hader made a great job because, let's be honest, the original alpha, you just want to shoot him with a shotgun. And this one, even if I'm not a fan of the graphic that they used, the voice was great.
I thought the graphic was good. His monotone. It was perfect, as opposed to the
Yeah, but he was saying ay all the time. This time he had a reason. It was like, oh shit, dude, they're never gonna be ready.
The thing that I love about this remake is it, and I know that some critics have looked at this and said, well, they spend the whole time not morphing. Like, half the movie is them not morphing.
Them becoming the team.
It's them becoming a team, and it's showing that transforming into an armored alien warrior isn't easy. You don't just get to, you know, hold your belt buckle up and scream an animal name. And
speaking of that, I have a quote right here. Then live with it. You did an awful thing. It doesn't mean that you're an awful person. On that same vein that you're saying, it's like, it's not, you know, be you. Some people screw up. You make mistakes, but it's move forward. It's, you're not just going to be able to grab the blue belt buckle and go Mighty Morphin Power douche. You gotta be decent before that happens.
Right. And look at the things that this tackles: bullying, cyberbullying, really crappy teenager decisions.
Supposedly people on the spectrum.
Right.
Yeah.
Sure. Obviously some sexual orientation conflict, that kind of thing. And one of them has a parent who's dying. So, I mean, this is all heavy stuff. And these are not the principal's list of high school superstars. These are basically the Breakfast Club.
Yeah, well,
and that's what I like about it. They are.
Yeah.
Right, because they're at Saturday detention.
Yeah.
When Zardoz sends back Billy instead of himself.
Zordon.
I know, but that's the one that I actually have Zardoz/Zardon.
When Heisenberg, channels the blue mess.
Hold on, hang on, hear me out. He sends back Billy, and then he goes to the Red Ranger. He goes, there can be only one Red Ranger. And there was just enough of a fucking pause there that I almost shit myself.
And then he says, it's okay. I am immortal.
Right.
I have inside me blood of kings.
Sorry.
People are gagging thinking about Highlander.
I just did that.
Wow.
On purpose. Not really.
Yeah, accidentally on purpose.
Did the movie open in China yet? I'm sorry, I'm moving.
Okay, so I want to talk about box office, but I think there's a couple more things.
Yippee-ki-yay, mother's good. Sorry, go on.
I love. Okay, when they're all telling each other personal things, Billy says, "I love country music. Like, I really love country music." The first scene where you're at Billy's house, it's All My Exes Live in Texas is playing on his stereo as he's taking off the building his Faraday cage around the house arrest hang clip.
Well, I love country music. That's something you don't want to tell to everybody.
No.
Everybody.
No,
I agree with that. Admit. You keep that to yourself.
Yeah, especially if you're an African-American youth, I feel especially that's not particularly cool too.
No, you don't want to go screaming that out to everybody. I like country music.
Can we talk about Angel Grove?
Okay, hold on. Before you get nuts on that, I'll keep my finger by my notes, but you said Angel Grove. So as soon as they flew over the Angel Grove sign and I saw it, for someone who never gave a shit about the show or the movies, I was like, ha, we're here.
I know, exciting.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I mean,
I can't imagine how you guys felt.
Angel Grove is not Ventura. It's not Venice Beach. It's not whatever Sydney, I think they used in the movie to fill in for it. It's a shit town. It's basically like this forgotten fishing village, and no one like nothing happens there. It's not the center of the universe.
Yeah, but they have a couple of buildings and a Krispy Kreme.
What more do you need?
I mean, really, you don't.
I ask you, if you have a rock quarry and a Krispy Kreme.
Gold quarry, I think, is what it was.
It was gold.
Gold mine. But
you have some sort of fishing industry. At least it's implied that they're out, you know, they're out on the boat, Deadliest Catch style.
You can't really go up from there. You're right.
Yeah, but they have a couple of skyscraper for show.
Just to get knocked down. Yeah, and then get up again.
How cute. The Power Rangers found their costumes and their dino cars.
All right, Rita Repulsa.
Yes, please.
More sexiest Rita by far?
Yeah, sexiest Rita by far. And I think she's the only one who watched the show before she showed up on set because she was like, oh, I need to amp this up as much as I can. And she's doing it so well. So well.
I was okay with her.
She's perfect. She's Elizabeth creepy Banks. As shit,
I love Elizabeth Banks and whatever she does. And she is like an alien. You actually believe, one, that she's an alien and not completely human. But also, she's the Green Ranger who went bad, betrayed the original Rangers, and tried to steal their power and the Zeo Crystal for herself.
Okay, so that's what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The famous Zeo Crystal.
Famous Zeo Crystal, Power Ranger Zeo. They did a whole show about it. Right?
Sorry, Bumblebee. That was a great line. Sorry. Good. But so, I don't understand. Was that just implied, or was I supposed to know that from what I saw?
They said it in the movie pretty...
You know, I kind of wondered why
she was green. Rita was once a member of the Power Rangers
team. No.
Zordon brought her on board. She was an outsider, but ultimately betrayed them.
Okay, see, I thought she, like you guys said from last week, I thought she made the Green Ranger. So I was created, whatever.
Where did she get the power coin from?
She stole it? I don't know.
Yeah, no, good point.
But so I was waiting to see if it was someone else, and then I just saw her putting the coin. Oh, sorry, the power crystal.
Yeah,
stone,
they're
this
coins,
one.
But yeah, they're.
But so like her putting it into her staff.
But you see, her at the start though, in the Green Ranger suit.
Yeah.
Almost killing Zordon.
All battered. Yeah.
Oh, that was okay.
When he gets naked and crawls away.
There you go.
Part was a little bit rough, but still, I gotcha.
Yeah. Maybe I was catching all that shit because I really wanted to.
Yeah, I wanted to see it.
Because the story of how I saw that movie.
Let's talk about the cameos because I didn't catch them all, but I think I caught one or two of them.
There's only two at the end. Scene. Yeah.
Oh, I thought there was like three of them.
No.
Wasn't the old Pink Ranger and the old.
Yeah. Amy Jo Johnson and Jason David Frank are taking cell phone video of the Megazord at the end.
Oh.
And they're in pink and green, respectively.
I watched my Mighty Morphin Life yesterday, where he shows how they did that, and they didn't actually show on set. They showed in front of a blue screen to do that.
Aww.
Yeah, that's something.
We don't even want you near our new property.
No. Well, he got kicked out of the premiere?
Yeah, you guys were talking about it last week, but go ahead and tell it again. It's a good story.
He wanted to film the audience's reaction of that scene to
to his 18-year-old cameo.
Yeah, and he got his ass kicked out of the premiere because they thought he was bootlegging it. I think I did tell this story last week. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Well, don't be sorry.
It's a good story because, holy shit, he totally would.
Mighty Morphin Bootleg Rangers.
Universe.
Okay, when they put the remix music from the 95 movie and you have all the five Zords running exactly like in the show.
Except they look nothing like the original Zords, except kind of the like, you can't tell me that weird black spider thing is a mastodon. It did not look like a mastodon.
But they say it is.
Yeah, okay, yep.
Well, I'm not a huge fan of the new redesign of the Zord, and I'll be honest, the Megazord, I'm not a fan at all.
Mega Yon Zord.
Yeah, and honestly, I think that's the only CGI that I found that was not great. It was the Megazord. The Zords were perfect.
The Zords on their own were fine.
Yep.
They did cool things.
What about the dancing Megazord at the end?
Yeah, I did enjoy the hip thrusting. That was good.
Yeah, agreed. Well, and he has like a hell of a bitch slap, so.
Was that, yeah. That's weird, isn't it?
Well, have you ever had Chekhov's bitch slap in a movie? Well,
that's Power actually Ranger a really good point. Yeah, that actually is a really good point. Because he slaps the bully at the beginning, and then he says that's kind of weird, and then at the end he slaps Rita into space.
And he said that's kind of weird.
Kind of weird. That's kind of weird, right?
So,
wow, I fucking hate you both. It is in everything, isn't it?
Yeah, that's how you write a script.
Something will pay off later on.
But at this point, it's becoming all writers went to film school and they do that way too much because, like I said, the bitch slap, you didn't have to have it at the start for it to be funny at the end.
Another Chekhov's Billy blowing up his locker. Yeah. That happens in the after credit sequence. His locker blows up again.
Yeah, that was funny though.
There's a couple such things.
The
Krispy Kreme. It's a place of great power.
That's the best and worst product placement. Yeah. I have ever seen. Best because
Krispy Kreme's kind of died off around here too. Like there aren't that many left.
Yeah, it used to be like crack and winning the lottery around here when they opened.
Yeah, but now everybody's having kale juice and all that healthy crap. Conscious.
This is still Skansen. There isn't a lot of. I mean, there is, but everybody still goes and occasionally eats their, you know, fish fry or their bakery.
I'm sure, but
it's an odd bit of product placement. I gotta say, it took me out a little bit from the movie, but I
would
get
have worked better if it was your it's at the U.S. Post Service.
I guess I don't like.
I'm just giving you shit. Honestly, I know what you mean.
I don't know.
It's like, at the Chuck E. Cheese.
I don't
like,
know
I get
what
it.
Else it could have been. I mean, it wasn't like Superman the movie level product placement, or was it Superman 2 that had all the product placement? But there's sometimes when it's done well, and this was kind of in the middle, right? Like they said Krispy Kreme one too many times.
You know what?
They showed it at the end in the like bucket. Like, oh, it's right there in the cup.
Yeah.
But you know what? I agree. It becomes too much at some point, maybe. But on the other side, let's say we need to meet somewhere. You're going to be like, oh, yeah, it's on that street and that street in front of McDonald's or in front of whatever. So yeah. I'm okay with that because life
works
like that.
Donuts are one of my favorite foods.
Yep.
Groups.
So food group. On the pyramid, yes, they are at the top.
You know, if you cut a donut in half and toast it and put cream cheese on it, it's a bagel. And bagels are healthy.
I hate bagels. I don't hate bagels. Bagels are fine. But I would rather have a donut.
I know. I'm totally kidding because that does not make it a bagel, but still.
Well, it's kind of making it a bagel.
Kind of. Or it doesn't make it.
You can make a good sandwich out of a donut, like a burger.
At the Skansen State Fair, if you ever want to come for an artery-clogging week or weekend, you come here for the state fair. I live about a block and a half away. I'll get you all the bacon, deep fried bacon in chocolate and deep fried,
donut sandwiches,
donut burgers with bacon on them that you can shake a stick at, and then I'll roll you home. Mm-hmm. I'm getting heartburn just thinking about it.
Indeed.
Oh, so where were we?
Goldar, the giant spindly gold monster.
That was
made out of literal gold.
Goldar that I wanted it to be.
Where was the ape guy?
The dreadlock beard.
Okay, wait. I understand it's nothing like Goldar we used to have, but Goldar we used to have is a comic relief to the point that at some point he works for Balkan Skull, okay?
Yeah.
So we don't need that, and to be honest, having that big gold smoosh that they had to fight was kind of something I've never seen before. So I have
I've seen it before.
With a Transformer.
He looked like the friggin' Destroyer from the Thor movie.
Yeah, but when they punch him, they go through it like it's slime. And that's what I found interesting.
You have seen that before. It's called Terminator fucking 2.
No, yeah, but not with giant robots.
Gold is actually a very, it's very malleable.
Yeah.
Right?
Soft metal.
Soft metal. It's also a very good conductor. I feel like they could have done something. Gold conducts electricity very, very well.
That's a good point.
I think they just could have done something better with that. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah, but she said,
make my monster grow!
She did. Did they make a Goldbrick joke in there somewhere?
I'm not sure. I need to go watch it again.
Yes, Make My Monster Grow was, I think, added in post because you don't actually see her face when she says it. But yes, that was a worthy addition to the film.
Well, yeah, we got all the good stuff. We got the It's Morphing Time. We didn't get the kiss between Kimberly and Jason. Yay.
No, which I don't think we wanted. Did you want that?
No, I didn't want it. But I've seen it like in, first of all, I think in a featurette and then in a trailer. So I was kind of expecting it, and it never came, and I was like, yes, yes, because she has her love interest in the next movie. So, and if they keep making these movie too good for their own good, because we'll talk about that when we get to box office, but okay. I think the biggest problem of the Power Ranger movie is that it's a too good of a movie. I know it sounds stupid, but the fact that we don't get Power Ranger before the third act and all that gets you a lot of character development, gives you a lot of what we navigated through in the movie and why we love the movie and why it's okay at the end to have that extravaganza and we're good with what we got. But if they had more action beat like Transformers, probably people would have went more.
I don't know. I don't know. Here's the thing. The Transformers movies are so much mindless action.
Yeah, they pretty much burn you out after the first one or two.
Right. This had a bit of mindless action, but at the same time, it had a lot of mindful character scenes.
A lot of engaging stuff.
God help me, but I actually really like this cast and
really cared
about these characters.
I was thinking that too, that it's kind of good that they didn't get one or two standout actors or actresses to, quote unquote, help float the ship. Everyone's new enough where that if they make a few of these movies, nobody's going to get out over their skis and be like, I need $10 million for this. Yeah. For not giving a fuck about any of these characters for most of my life, now, like you're saying, Lobster, I was like, oh my God, I hope I hope the Rangers survive.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope the dad's going to be okay in his Red Ford Ranger. that honestly surprised me the most is that I bought into, some of the character intros were a little rushed. But at the same point, I bought into everyone and their story. And even I really don't think we got enough of the Yellow Ranger and the Black Ranger to get a feel for them. It was very focused on red, pink, and blue.
Oh, that's because those three were schoolmates.
Right. But I understand why they did it. And I feel like they're kind of the core characters for the original cast. Yeah, Zach and Trini were there. They weren't on the show that long and they were kind of faded out by the time they did the movie, right? They were gone. And then Tommy kind of supplanted and became the leader. But I kind of feel like these guys, I think they had good chemistry. It's clear that they kind of tested them together. I've watched interviews with the cast and they all have a really good rapport with each other. So I kind of feel like they're going to stick around for this.
The guy who plays Zach, when I saw him on, I'm a big fan of the Collider trivia, movie trivia showdown, and they did a movie trivia thing, and you saw that he is exactly that character. He didn't play it. He was just showed up.
Yeah.
and he's so funny. Even in real life, he's
Jason's
so...
the guy who played Jason's actually British.
Yeah,
and usually I can spot when a Brit is faking an American accent, but I didn't with him.
Oh, mark my word, that actor that plays a Red Ranger is going to be a superhero.
And oh yeah, yeah, he's going to be like the next. He's going to be like the next Jason Bourne. They're going to have him in a bunch of stuff.
Oh yeah, clearly he's going to,
you know.
Yeah,
but I really have to say, it surprised me. But Billy was the heart and soul of the team in the movie.
Oh yeah,
they made the right call with that actor. They made the right call with that character, and it moved me almost to tears when he died and they brought him back. Like I was like, what the fuck? Why am I tearing up in a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie?
Did you really think that they would not bring him back when they?
No, I knew they were going to bring him back. Like I saw that coming a mile away, but. The fact that it landed for me emotionally surprised me.
Yeah, because again, you had like Chekhov morphing grid to bring back Zordon from the dead. So when they
is he still?
He's like shit.
God damn this movie.
Goddamn Chekhov.
No, I mean I get it. I was just trying to figure out how I could interjaculate my thoughts there too, because I was a bit dusty in the room when. Yeah. Cooter Magruder died and they had to bring him back.
Seriously, I'm the only one that thought that that was a false beat in the movie, because I was like, first of all, she would have killed them all without
it was
gonna
happen.
Thinking about it.
You knew it was going to happen, but it was still, I don't know, it's fulfilling, because they're all like, yeah, you know what, I'd die for all of us too. And then, you know, they finally all realize their power as a team, and then all of a sudden Zardoz, you're welcome,
yep.
Wing,
mm-hmm.
is like, he's like, oh, screw it, I can't come back.
Yeah,
here you like, go, midget.
He's like, Jesse, time to cook.
Right, exactly.
Dear goddess.
Cooking time.
Yeah, can you believe Max Landis is one of the writers on that thing? No shit, it looks like
yeah,
like
looks
Chronicle.
Like it should.
Well, yeah, the only thing I've seen in an interview, he said that he made the Pink Ranger a guy and a Black Ranger a girl. And the mm-hmm. studio was like, no. What about no?
Guys, I'm black. What?
You're not.
No. I have the line. No, it's like, I'm black. Or no, I'm blue. I'm black. What? No, you're not. Or something. It's just like, no.
I am.
So good.
That pool with the... How do you call that? The no bottom?
The upside down water pool?
Yeah, well, it's not an upside down water pool. It's actually just
salinity. It's regular water and salt water. They don't mix. There's a word for it, a statement for it. I just can't think of it right now because I'm looking for the other one. But that's how they got that effect.
I love the fact that, what's his name? Zach just steals his sword and move.
I'm blue. I'm black. What? No, you're not. Sorry. Sorry. I'm sorry. Got a little
it's all right.
There.
That was about 5 minutes ago, but that's cool.
That's how my brain... I took me time to find it, you know?
You know what was cool? The putties. They actually made the putties look cool. They were like the thing in the new Fantastic Four movie, but cool.
There's one with a street sign on his head because
yeah.
they're made up of the street.
They're literally
of the
made
street.
Of rock that comes up. Yep.
I know we talked about Rita, but what about that scene when she goes to the jewelry store? I mean...
Fucking creepy. And wasn't that jewelry store called like Fenix or Finster or something?
Something, yeah.
And that, I want to say that's a nod to Finster from the original series who like made the monsters.
Yeah, the only thing we didn't get is Vulcan Skull, but we got two girls that are basically Vulcan Skull and another...
Ooh, gender bent Vulcan Skull. What would that be like?
Well, isn't that the two girls that get their car
trashed
and all
that?
And
there's the bully at the beginning in detention.
And you know what? That bully is just too much of a bully. Is like, oh yeah, at this point I'm like working for the Godfather. I'm not gonna break your finger. And I was like, dear God, bullying is hard these days.
It's they've stepped up their game, man. Bullies.
Yeah. Dear God.
What do you think Vulcan Skull would look like in this Power Rangers? Because we saw them, albeit briefly, in the bootleg universe, and they were kind of like
what I imagined they would be.
Yeah,
like.
It's like what you would imagine. Like they're sorry if I'm going to offend anybody, but kind of trailer trashy meth addicts. who sell out the Power Rangers.
Oh, fuck, I gotta go. You're such a douche.
Sorry, Beef. They sell out the Power Rangers because the Machine Empire makes better meth.
Yeah.
If you're hooked on something, I could get it, though. I mean, I could sell you guys out for that.
Hooked on the Chronicle. But, do you think that they would be kind of in that vein in here? I almost kind of think that they would be. So in the original later seasons, the Bulkan Skull became obsessed with figuring out the Power Rangers' true identities. And they kind of started this this quest to identify them. I kind of feel like they could be like the trolls, and they're like doxing the Rangers and trying to figure out who they really are.
I don't know. I see the new Bulkan Skull as something like Jay and Silent Bob now. They're the two guys that sells weed at the high school.
They're the Greek chorus of
yeah.
the movie.
Yeah, well, you know, they're 19 years old, but they're still in high school because
they're 21 years old, but they're still in high school.
Yeah, there you go. Or something like that. You know, that's more I see them.
Yeah.
Than anything else. But again, I think those two girls are the replacement for them because the other bully is mainly a plot device. So.
Right, right.
And I never believed them. I was like, okay, you're way too hardcore bully. Dear God. So.
All right, so ideas for the future. We got a little tease at the end.
Well, we're going to get the Green Ranger.
Tommy Saga. Oliver.
Yeah, you take those five episodes, which were like 2 hours, and you make a 2-hour movie with that.
Do you think it'll be Tommy with a Y or Tommy with an I, i.e.?
I know people are talking about gender bending. I would totally go for a woman for a new Tommy.
For the Green Ranger?
Well, Tommy could be a girl.
It would. I tell you what, it would add an interesting dynamic because we're all like, oh, it's going to be the love interest of the Pink Ranger. But what if it's the love interest of the Yellow Ranger?
Oh, that could be interesting. Now, gender bend the Green Ranger, and she falls in love with the Yellow Ranger. Uh-huh. We're starting to get something here.
Uh-huh.
Saban will never go there, but...
No, I don't.
It might. Fuck it. What do they got to lose? They already made a gajillion dollars off of everything in the last 25 years.
Yeah. Well, they're not making a gajillion out of that. Right now, they're losing $50 million.
On what?
All right, let's talk about box office. So... they made this movie for $100 million, which I feel is kind of a low number when you think about what these blockbuster
movies... Yeah, for what it looked like way more than $100.
Yeah, and I think where they saved money was they really padded the runtime with character stuff, and they minimized the CGI till the very kind of end scenes of the film.
Yeah, and they hired Elizabeth Banks and Bryan Cranston and call it a day. Then
yeah, that was those were the people. The biggest names in the cast were the one guy's a TV screen, and one person does voiceover.
Oh, there. Yep.
And honestly, I tell you what, I think it's smart that they didn't spend a ton of money converting it to 3D.
Oh, dear God. You? Yeah, dear God, they didn't because they
why
would have
would you?
More.
So you can see Bryan Cranston's face popping out of that wall. Do you know what it reminds me of? You know,
that
would have
been
thing?
The only cool part of the movie.
Well, you know the thing at like Spencer's that you put your hand on?
Yes, the pins.
And it like presses out. Yeah, that's what he looked like. It looked like all I could imagine was Bryan Cranston sticking his face in one of those and moving it around.
That's probably what he did.
Yeah, that's probably what he did. But when you think about it, that's not a bad idea because the guy in the tube was like, meh. And if you really want to see that in 3D, you can go to the Power Ranger Experience at Las Vegas. Yes, baby!
The floating head in the lava lamp.
Yeah, dear God. Yeah. Yeah, let's do Vegas, guys, and do the Power Ranger Experience.
I'll meet you at the fucking craps table, dude.
Come on.
All right, so for $100 million, worldwide, it's up to $117. It was number two opening weekend in the U.S., but it has yet to open in China, which they are going to release in China in July, and Japan, which is obviously where this whole franchise started.
Yeah, and I have it on pretty good authority that publicity marketing costs $75 million on that. So the actual cost final is $175 million, so they can get even.
Well, they got some money from Krispy Kreme, right? I mean, some of that product placement.
How much did you think they paid for that? A lot.
A million paid, or two, easy.
They were paid in donuts. That was craft services. Yeah, it was really hard for the Rangers to keep their abs.
It was called Crispy Services. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it was
God.
Real like Red Ranger knew he had to do the scene in the bathroom where he breaks the sink and he's like, I gotta keep my abs, can't eat the Krispy Kreme.
That's why he was barfing in the sink.
Yes, he was. Yeah. A little too much Krispy Kreme.
A lot of Krispy Kreme, that would be funny for, you know, on like a set of a Justice League or a Avenger.
I think Roy from The Office was hogging all the Krispy Kreme, if I'm going to make a comment. But you guys know who I mean, right?
Nope.
Jason's dad in the film. David Denman, who, if you go back to like the first two seasons of The U.S. Office, played Pam's boyfriend. No? No?
Nope.
I only watch a BBC one. So.
All right.
All right. Do we got some last stuff to wrap this up before we get to last word, fellas?
I think we can rate this one.
Yay.
Should.
So for Power Ranger, are you going legendary?
20 seasons and 3 movies.
Yeah, dear God. Legends of its time?
Zeo Crystal.
Cult legend?
The original Power Rangers was so much better.
Awesome.
Emergency bitch slapping action.
Entertaining.
Insert power coin stone thing.
Mailable.
Stale Krispy Kreme donut.
Forgettable.
I can't wait for the gritty reboot.
The grittier reboot.
Even grittier reboot. Yeah. They're just in the dirt the whole time. Dirty.
Abysmal.
Ay, 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 ay.
Or Spring Breakers Islander.
Transformers The Last Night.
Hey,
we haven't even
seen
it yet, but it's going to be bull.
That was going to be great.
Oh, yeah. Transformer movie with King Archer and Hitler. Yeah, it's going to be great.
Bam. Oh, Hitler's in it?
Yeah, Hitler is in it.
Which Hitler?
Well, D. Hitler. Is there another Hitler?
Yeah, Tom Hitler.
Bruno Gantz?
Oh, dear God. Okay, so...
Which Hitler?
D. Hitler, Adolf.
Who's playing Hitler?
I don't know.
Or is he playing himself?
The guy from Doctor Who? What?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Let's go.
All right, for this fucking movie, I am going to go emergency bitch slapping action.
Awesome.
Or action. So awesome, for sure. I had a lot more fun than I should have with this, and I don't know why, but... Actually, I do know why. It was character development. It was a group of people coming together for a goal. There was enough fun CGI shit. There was a lot of story. There was stuff that made sense to me. When it started losing a little ground was towards the end when it was, you know, Zord's power up and all that. But I will sadly go see the next one with a bit of joy and fun. So, yes, awesome. Bitch slapping action. Fellas?
This is a tough one. I really think I'm gonna follow suit and give it some emergency bitch slapping action as well. I would love to go Cult Legend, but we're too close for it. And why I saw this movie, actually, it was like a Thursday night. I was tired and it was opening that day. And I was like, you know what? I'll show up at the theater. I'll see if there's space. Unfortunately, there was a lot, but I watched the movie, and the first thing I thought when I walked out was, this movie has no place being that good. This should not have been that great, and it is. So whatever happens in the future, if I get more or anything, I'll always have this movie to say, see, it's possible to take something super campy, kind of stupid, and make it interesting. And interesting to a level where it's not just about bitch slapping action. So awesome.
Yeah, this is tough to call. It's really, really tough to call. I think we are in the early stages. I don't think we're going to be able to say this is going to be a legend of its time or a cult legend. But it was so much better than it had a right to be. Mm-hmm. And to me, like, I know it didn't do super well with the critics. But as a fan of the original,
50% of Rotten Tomato. Yeah, that's actually pretty good for what it is
for a movie like this. Yeah, but I think they miscalculated a couple things. I didn't really talk about the costumes. We talked about the Zords a little bit. I don't know if the designs were really kid-friendly enough. I think a lot of the movie was geared toward a slightly older audience. Power Rangers, the bread and butter, is exciting. We talked about how if you were a fan of the original series, it kind of depended on how old you were when it started. And if you were kind of in that 8 to 13-year-old range, like you were a big fan. But if you were a little bit too old or maybe a little bit too young, it didn't sit with you. And I feel like this movie didn't quite find the Goldilocks zone for that age group, which I think is really where they need to make, unfortunately, the Boss Baby money. You know what I mean?
Oh, dear, like, God.
Yeah, but number one at the box office 2 weeks in a row.
I know.
So it's really, really hard. And speaking of Boss Baby, I walked out of Power Rangers and there were two kids in the hallway and one of them goes, "Cookies are for closers," and they laugh. And then one kid goes, "What's a closer?" Like, they're referencing Glengarry Glen Ross, but they have no idea what that even means. I'm sorry. That's just a mini rant.
My God. Okay.
But I think that this movie kind of missed that sweet spot. It would have made more money, unfortunately. That if
they were shooting for you guys, though.
Yeah, I know. If they dumbed it down for kids, it would have been better money, but they didn't. They like kept it mature and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but sophisticated.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't go that far.
Like, it was a
realistic.
Little, yeah. It was much more in line with the bootleg universe movie that we talked about. And I could see this getting there at some point. So
oh, totally.
It's like this weird thing where it did enough to make it like watchable for people our age without going into Rogue One fan service territory. Like, there was a cameo and like she said, "Make my monster grow," and I, and it's Morphin time. And that was pretty much it. Like, the rest of it was all kind of original territory that they kind of unpacked. And I think like it's so on the cusp. It's definitely awesome. It's definitely some bitch slapping action, but I feel like it's on the cusp, and time will tell whether they make 6 sequels like they're planning on or 5 more movies. We'll see. I mean, if they can crank them out at like the $75 to $100 million range and reap a decent reward by focusing on the character stuff and maybe minimizing the low budget, or God forbid, recycling some footage like hell the original TV show did. I don't know. Maybe it can be
first Transformers was decent too, though, quote unquote. Well, and then after that, it all fell off. I'm not saying this is anything like that because they have a good ensemble cast and it's not LaBeouf and Toe Thumbs, right?
And I got to tell you, they spent their money well, because if I go see another one of these movies, it's going to be for the characters, not the Zords.
Okay. Correct.
Okay,
oh,
but
yeah.
You see the problem with the premise that you're saying there. First of all, inflation. It costs more and more. To make the same movie in 2 years, it costs you $110. Second of all, if you make a second movie, the concept usually in Hollywood is to, first of all, is to up the ante, which equal more special effect, equal more money, which also equal we need to have the Power Ranger at the start of the movie, at least a little bit before they lose their power and gain them again at the end of the movie. If that's what you're doing to try to cut corners, but still that costs you more money. I think they're
going to... All right, so,
they're
so
gonna,
listen...
Well, yeah, well,
yeah, finish, finish
they
your
do
thought.
A,
finish
they do
your
a flashback.
Yeah.
I'm going to rant here in a second.
Yeah, I think that it didn't open in China yet. So I think China's going to help it a lot for them to get even. I think they're going to try to produce a second movie to see if the trajectory is going up or going down. If it's doing the Ninja Turtle one, they're going to cancel the third one. If it's going the Hunger Games one, they're gonna keep going, or like you said, the Transformer ones. I mean, the first one was decent, the second one was crap, and more people want to see it. So I think that's where they go, but that's a gamble at this point.
All right, so here's my rant. I have a major problem with these Hollywood franchises that their solution to get butts in the seats is to throw more money at the problem. And to me, some of the best movies and some of the best storytelling happens when you can't afford to special effects your way out of it.
Primer.
If you don't have the budget at a $75 to $100 million budget, you don't have the budget to CGI the shit out of this movie. You have to write a script. You have to make characters that people want to watch. And I got to tell you, I think this is where we're headed. Look at Logan, right? Not a big budget movie, but character driven storytelling that was engaging, exciting, and had real stakes, real consequences. They didn't CGI their way out of the end of that movie. It was not a, oh my God, we need to save New York City from the hole in the sky that's spewing aliens.
Again.
Right. And like, honestly, like, look at X-Men Apocalypse. The return on investment on that versus Logan.
X-Men Apocalypse, it didn't make money at all.
I know. So I'm saying, like, maybe giving them a bigger budget isn't the answer. Do another, give me the next installment of The Breakfast Club here. And let's, you know, there's a plot to maybe destroy the planet and they got to morph and do some stuff. But have it about them figuring their shit out. Like, that was where the movie engaged me. And I think there's something to be said for doing the character piece and morphing come second. But
I just want to mention the big problem is because in Latvia, they only went for $6,000 to that movie. So it's all because of Latvia if we don't get a sequel.
Totally.
Those fucking Latvians.
We can all make that up if we all buy two DVDs. All right. Last word, people.
Oh, I gotta go. I'm going to go with it's morphing time. Watch your morphing time's over.
Power Rangers?
Okay, that's a little on the nose, but
yeah, I know. I shot around and I had nothing. So this has been episode 320, Legends Podcast, Mighty Morphin Power Awesomeness. I'm Beef saying, God, I hate that I like these last 2 weeks.
I'm Wing saying, Yippee-ki-yay, mother's good. Mother's good.
And I am Jono Lobster. Oh, shit. I don't have a good quote for this one.
That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad. We'll see you next week.
All right. Great. You ooze, you lose. I guess that's my takeaway. That was my quote last week. So.
Oh, God.
Thank God we didn't get like more Ivan Ooze in this. Huh?
Ivan Ooze in the sequel, baby.
It's because they spent them in Apocalypse.
Well, they're probably going to keep him for the fourth sequel.
Do you think they could recycle the Apocalypse costume and just put a little ooze on it?
A little dangly chin on it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, purple you and you're done, basically.
I hear Oscar Isaac is going to be... No, I'm just kidding. He's not gonna...
Oh, my God, shut up.
No, Oscar Isaac.
Oh, wait.
He's Zed.
Ivan Ooze reboot dream casting. I want to stick with Breaking Bad and have Gus Fring, Giancarlo Esposito.
That would be awesome.
Ivan Ooze.
No, again, as Lord Zed, he would be great as Zed.
No, who do I want to play Lord Zed? Batista, Drax. Like, he's good with the all-over makeup, so put him in the muscle, flesh brain suit.
He doesn't need much muscle. He just needs the brain.
No. Like he's already jacked. It's just his muscles are
right.
Now
the skin, the skin thing, muscle exterior.
I'm not sure.
All right. Thank you everybody for listening. These guys are going to talk about this shit all night. I have to go to bed. We'll see you next week. Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to GunnaGeek.com where you'll find all our contact information as well as our other shows. You can also visit legendspodcast.com where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legends Stream Canada or GunnaGeek Networks. No infringement is intended. and no infringements are intended.